Mites and Mites podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy Mike Eagle is there as well. Tights and Mites podcast. Tights and Mites.
My name is Hal. I'm with Danielle and Mike. Here's a wrestling podcast that we think you'll really like. We talk each week and we always get it right. Cause we run the show known as Tights and Fight.
Wow.
You did a whole thing.
Hold it down. Hold it down. Hold it down. Does that mean I'm gonna continue?
Sometimes
why? Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the international pod sensation, Hal Lublin, and I'm joined by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the head of Danielle Brand Worldwide, Danielle Radford.
Hello.
And the real big deal, Mike Eagle.
Yeah.
Coming up on this week's show, Braun's still the best. Rap skills to the test. Hold it down, hold it down.
Hold it down.
But first, New Japan Pro Wrestling held its first ever special in the U.S. Lots of great wrestling developments happened, including Okada successfully defending his title against Cody, Kenny Omega become the organization's inaugural U.S. champion. When I got to meet Ric Flair and moderate his panel, somebody asked him what would it take to create a promotion that could compete with WWE. And Ric Flair immediately said, $1 billion. There is no organization in this that could even be like enough. I think all it could become, this is my sense, despite the fact that they're super talented, they may put on the best matches in the entire world. I believe that they will only ever be a faint number two, if that. No one will ever have the resources to go head-to-head with Vince McMahon again unless another Ted Turner comes along and decides they want to pour money into it.
I mean, there can be a strong second. I don't think there's going to be anyone who's really going to tie for first. I think that we are getting a lot of strong second and third place candidates right now, and I'm living for that. I want there to be someone else to, like, challenge WWE because they do great work. I mean, unfortunately, in the Attitude area, they were like, tits or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that they'll do that this time around, but I would still love for there to be a challenge and for it not to be a monopoly. I just, you know, again, I just have to win that $1 billion, you guys. I just have to convince Beyonce and Jay-Z that what they really, really want to do is invest some of their money into the people of color 444/lemonade.
I'm here for wrestling. I'm definitely here
promotion
for
promotion that I want, and that's.
I'm here for Blue Ivy Championship Wrestling.
Oh my God, I'm here for Blue Ivy Championship Wrestling. Oh, I'm so here for that. I live for that.
So, they've announced that they're going to do a U.S. tour. So obviously this was their first step in putting their toe in the water. Mike, what other kind of stuff would you like to see from them? I mean, do you want to see a weekly television show? Do you want something monthly that's an
event? I'll tell you this.
What do you think?
I'll tell you this. They have a weekly television show now that comes on Access TV here in the States. And for some reason on my television listing, it shows Access TV. But whenever I press the button to watch Access TV, I actually don't have the channel. I don't know why that is. It's not like a premium thing. It's just my cable package.
Oh, you're one of the most responsible of all of us.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
I feel like responsibility and cable packages are hand in hand. I feel like responsible people have better cable packages. Maybe I just learned this from my parents.
My household made a cable package decision, I think, about 12 or 13 years ago that we have not adjusted at all. Don't even know how. But the thing is this. I saw they had a New Japan Wrestling show. And I set it on my TiVo to record this show and realized the first time that it recorded that I don't have it, so it just records an hour of blank space. And I haven't taken it off yet.
Just in the hope?
That's how badly I would like to watch a New Japan television show, because they have a lot of people. They have a roster that I like, and every time that there's a reason to go seek it on, you know, YouTube or on Daily Mo, like if there's an Omega Okada match or some match people are telling me to go see, I enjoy it, and I tend to enjoy everything else that's around it too. I would love to be able to consume more of it. I wish they had some kind of app I could get through my TiVo or my PlayStation or that's one of my various television devices.
I know that they have it for something, but it's like I want to watch it on my television. I don't want to watch it on my phone or on my computer.
I've become very spoiled. And I want to ingest and consume the product that way. And yeah, and they'll never be a number two. But I mean, I think similarly, WWE will never really overtake New Japan in Japan. You know, they're always going to be number two there. And so, you know, I support the international expansion. I hope they do great.
The larger point is having access to that and getting to know those stars will only help the WWE make money in the long run, because then when somebody comes in, and obviously NXT is that ground for them now, but even people coming into NXT, they'll have more recognition. They can sell more merch and make more money. Let's talk about WWE now. Enzo Amore opened Raw by showing the types of promos he can cut when he doesn't have to try and fit a catchphrase into them. Let's hear a clip.
That boop that touched my lips, it was like CPR, and all it did was breathe new life. Hence the reason why my Tupac bandana tied, because I am an army of one now, okay? And it is from now on me being all that I could be, and all that I could be is just me. It's all eyes on me.
Okay.
Enzo Amore love. okay.
New Jersey love.
I think that that was the best promo he's ever cut in his entire career.
For sure.
All, bar none, he got himself over. He got Cass over. Yep. He established why he could potentially win a match between the two of them. And I think he got the one of, if not the biggest reaction of the night. I'm actually to the point now where because of the last two or three weeks, I've forgotten how shitty the build is. Do you agree with me that this is now an are you excited for this match and potentially what could come after?
I'm interested in this match. I don't know if excited works yet because the the match itself, I don't know. I just don't quite know how they're going to pull this match off yet. Just the difference in styles being what it is. And we've never, at least on the WWE main roster, we've never seen Enzo's offense really on display that wasn't Cass literally throwing him around and throwing him into people. So I am certainly interested, and I definitely want to see where the characters go. I have this feeling that Cass is just going to go over, but I don't know what they do with Enzo from there. So kind of hard to say. I like last week's promo a little better because it's a little less meandering, more to the point when he was trying to actually say something to Cass and he didn't just go crazy with writing shit on himself and all that sort of thing.
Right.
And I really want him to stop using that microphone. I really do. It looks great.
Use a regular mic.
Yeah, but it literally cuts frequencies out of his voice and it distorts, and I hate listening to it.
The hard thing about this feud for me is that both of these people have to go over. One can really afford to. I think the best that we can hope for is that this is a David versus Goliath, where Goliath wins, but David still looks dope as fuck. Yeah. And I think that's the best we can do.
That's the match you need to have. He needs to just look tough.
Yes, and Enzo can't give up, and he can do some of his goofy shit, but it has to really be like he's fucking Bugs Bunny, but in the good ways. Like, he's cheating to win. He's super fucking crafty. That's what it has to be for me for this to work. There is no other iteration of this that works. It does not work if Enzo goes over, because you cannot separate them and then have Cass's 7 foot tall ass get taken down by fucking Too Cool. Like, it doesn't work.
Yeah. No, I agree. Let's talk about somebody whose ass won't get taken down by Too Cool. Braun Strowman, who won the award for most gif-able moment of the week when he countered Apollo Crews standing moonsault. Let's hear the clip of that.
Apollo Crews standing moonsault!
Oh, literally fucked halfway across the ring!
Wow!
Oh, my God!
Did you see that?
And I gotta say, I felt a little sympathy for him watching him get kicked out of the air with both feet like that. Like, that was
that fucking spot. Oh my god.
Like, I don't even know how you practice that, man. He did like a half turn in the air. Like, that was crazy.
Hey, I'm just gonna jump up. Can you just kick the fuck out of me and I figure out how to roll? Like, what do you do? Tell me wrestling ain't real.
Let's look at another feud. Oh god, do we have, all right, fine. Seth's still got a match with Bray Wyatt this weekend.
Bray was in the desert this weekend.
Yeah, Bray was in the desert somewhere and mumbling. I'll be honest, I fast forwarded through it.
Oh,
I listened to about 30. He's like, when the demon formed my child. I was like, nope, I'm out. That's out. I'm done. You don't win.
Yeah, you gotta win something.
Don't win.
You gotta win something.
You don't win. I never understand what you're saying anymore. You're a compelling person and a talented performer.
And you laugh real good.
Who? Yeah, you got a great good laugh. But he is booked to, like, I don't get the booking. Like,
Seth.
Is his voodoo, was he like a businessman whose voodoo curse was to become a voodoo man who lost all the time?
I think that's
like
it.
Like some witch rubbed her hand on his face and said, I dub thee loser. Right. Like, what the hell is happening there? Yeah.
Beard's a living parasite, I think. I think that's what it is.
It talks to him.
I want to blame it on the white dude dreads, but I know that he can't.
No, he was losing before that, too.
He was losing before that.
He thought that was going to change, putting some honey in his hair. It didn't work.
Looking like a roadie for, I can't even remember the
band's Avenged
name.
Sevenfold. I don't know.
Well, that works. I was thinking the one.
Linkin Park? Man,
no, the ones that.
P.O.D.
No, wait, hold on. I'm excited to think of the song. The one that did the version of Obla Di Obla Da, like La La Don't Get a Job or something like that.
Oh, Offspring.
Yeah, Offspring.
Ooh.
It's like a roadie for. Wait, let's pretend like I didn't say any of this, but leave it in, Julian. Guy looks like a roadie for Offspring. I just thought of it. It was on the top of my head.
Whip.
Oh, you're so good at jokes, Al.
That's on my it's on my website, White Star Hip Hop.
White Star!
White Star!
White Star!
Is Seth working for you as a face?
Ooh, boy. You know what works for me is that WWE 2K18 commercial. That works for me real well.
Oh, that works.
Now, if only he could run around smashing things on the television show.
Yeah.
And not just in the commercial. Then I think it'd be good.
Really sincere face, Seth, is fucking weird, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, it is. And like...
Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, he's so... he's like weird and pandery.
Hey, I just want to hear about all of your hopes and dreams. Can you please... send to Twitter/Seth Rollins. Just tell me all of your hopes and dreams. I really want to hear them, you guys.
Seth Rollins is really close to ending a promo with, please clap. Really close to that.
Jeb Rollins.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. So... are there any Raw feuds that aren't stagnating outside of Amore and Big Cass, Joe Lesnar?
Oh, I love Joe Lesnar.
And Braun Roman. Yeah, just for a second.
My God.
Holy Lord. I was talking to Julian before, and I said, what I wouldn't give for Vince to have the balls to say, we're going to put Joe over.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, my God. I want it so bad.
Oh,
I've never wanted anything. Well, no, I have. That's a lie. We could probably go back 3 months and I'll say the same. I've never wanted anything so bad, but, like, I want it so bad.
He is a...
he's so good.
He's more believable to me as someone who can beat Lesnar than anyone besides Braun Strowman. Like, Reigns you buy because that's the way he's been booked. And I think he's more compelling watching him lose. The guy puts on good matches, is nothing, not a slight against Roman, but Joe just seems like the kind of guy, he doesn't have that past coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And his WWE slate is relatively clean, and it's just loaded up with him destroying people.
Mm.
That's how he's been booked, and that's been his character, and he's so compelling to watch. And he even, I think, makes Brock better.
Mm-hmm.
That back and forth, because Brock's got that sort of weird, like, well, you come on down here if you want to fight me. And meanwhile, like, you don't expect the giant brick shithouse of a man to sound like that. He's like, I'll beat you up and then go back to my farm with Rena and my kids. I don't care.
And the thing about putting Joe over that would really be amazing is that Joe right now is on the cusp of actually getting over really big with the crowd, too. And that would put him over, man, if he actually was able to win that title. Man, because, like, the crowd was popping just, like, when Joe took his earpiece out. the crowd popped. Yeah. Like that, you're not getting that kind of energy for really anybody else on the roster right now. I mean, I don't know. I think you know what they used to say, you strapped a rocket to him and let him go, but you know.
Let's shift over to SmackDown, which whose next pay-per-view is Battleground. Better name. The New Day and the Usos had a rap battle that was officiated by rapper Wale. And even though I heard it said a bunch of times, I said, who's that guy? Was it Whale? That's what I said.
Whale.
Rapper Whale.
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 Mike.
Whale.
You're a professional rapper.
I am, unfortunately. I thought it was great, actually. Yeah, I thought
it
was great.
Because I watch it, I go, like, they're taking, like, when Kurt Angle raps, it makes sense for him to take a break in between lines because he doesn't know how to rap. But if the idea is that they do know how to rap, they're like, my name is Jimmy, and I'm here to say, bum, ba bum, bum, ba bum, bum. I got a twin brother, and his name is Jay. Bum, ba bum, bum, ba bum, bum. Like,
oh, man.
It's what it feels like to me sometimes.
Well, I love Cocoa Pebbles in a crazy way.
But I do
way.
Get it. It is for a live audience, so they have to digest
it. The thing is, modern rap battling is actually a huge business, and it went from the days of like the 8 Mile rap over a beat, freestyle, keep it going, to now, that's what we saw on SmackDown last night is what rap battles are now.
Wow.
Like, you take a month and you write raps about the person you know you're gonna face, and you say your bars and you let the crowd react in between. And then you say your next bar, you let the crowd react in between. Like, so what they were doing is a reflection of what things are now.
Do you rap battle?
I've done that once. I didn't like that style though.
No.
So yeah. So okay. it's not my thing. But I got a bunch of good friends that do that. And, yeah, doing it for a living. Like,
interesting. Because to me, I'm watching, because I probably have 8 Mile in my head and watching like YouTube videos of it, stuff where it's a lot faster and the crowd just sort of has to keep up with it. It certainly makes sense from playing to an audience perspective to give that pause. But also, like, I don't like when the Usos seem to be better at it than New Day.
That was, I think, unexpected to everybody.
Yeah.
And so
I lived in Hawaii. It wasn't.
Well, and I mean, you know, from having rapped a long time, having freestyled a long time, like, from what it seemed to me, and actually I had a guy on the inside last night, but more on that later. The
Chippendales guy?
Yes, of course. The New Day stuff was all very clearly written and planned out. Jimmy and Jay stuff, a lot of this stuff, they were actually freestyling. And they, I suppose, freestyle a lot together where they can kind of like set each other up.
Okay, that's
and
horrible.
Either they'll go with it or make a left turn out of it. But it's like it's still on beat and it's just they have that energy together. And I don't think anybody was prepared for them to do that.
Right. Who was your person on the inside?
I'm gonna put him over later too, but one of the guys. Well, I'll say his name and then and say it again
is
later.
Is it Whale?
No, it wasn't Whale. I don't know Whale personally.
Do you know Wale?
I don't know either Wale or Whale.
Okay, fair enough.
You sure you don't know Whale?
I don't. I actually don't know Whale.
I played Wide Whale on Venture Brothers.
You
do know
Brothers.
Whale.
I've been whale watching.
Okay,
I've done that.
Have you been Wale watching?
I've never Wale watched on purpose.
Have you ever gone on a roller coaster at Wale World?
I've no. When I got to Wale World, it was closed. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Walls?
I believe I'm looking at Walls currently.
See?
I believe. And there's a Pixar movie, Wall-E.
I have
also
seen
not
Wall-E?
Seen. No.
Oh, you should see it. It's great.
I've not seen Wall-E.
Have you seen Wale Street, Money Never Sleeps?
I've seen the original Wale Street. I did not see Wale 2, the sequel. I didn't see that.
So because SmackDown can't seem to stop stepping on its own dick, they decided to bring up the Paige controversy in the rap segment.
Oh, my God!
Which sounded like this.
Whoa!
Hey, Big E, let's just keep it PG. You know what's good. Just don't get all rated R like your boy Xavier Woods.
Ooh. I rewound that one and watched it again. I couldn't believe it.
Now,
but they went there. They both took turns kind of going there like a couple of times.
And
like,
they repeated it.
Yeah, they did.
They did repeat it. So, Danielle.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to swing the mic away from my mouth now. What did you think?
So, this might sound really surprising. I didn't hate it. I'm okay with it because they didn't make it about her. It was about him. And they said R-rated. They didn't say X-rated.
Yes.
And so, which would have been funny because it also would have been a pun on his name.
Yep.
And they didn't do that, which is great because anybody who wants to, if you don't already know about the controversy and you try to Google it off of Xavier R-rated whatever, I don't know that you're going to find it.
Yeah.
If you don't already know about it. And so for me, it felt like any dude who would have been caught in that kind of scandal, be it Seth Rollins or fucking Mr. 4-Hour Boner, Tom Phillips, or any of those dudes, they would have cracked on them the same. And again, it centered on Xavier, and it didn't center on Paige.
Right.
And so for me, that made it okay. Now, if they would have said something where it was like, turn the page, whatever, I would have been like, fuck you, that's fucking booty, and you suck, and I'm not into it. But they didn't do that. Like, they centered it on the fact that it doesn't matter who... It isn't like none of the rest of it. It wasn't about any of the other participants. This person was in a naughty video, and that was it. And so for me, that makes it okay.
Okay. Great.
My guy, I didn't say his name, but he was my guy inside was one of the people standing with New Day. His name is Megaran. He's actually a Phoenix rapper.
Megaran. Yeah, he's a great... We follow each other on the Twitter.
Yeah, he's a great, very funny friend of mine. And we've been rapping together for a very long time.
That's cool.
And so, like, that felt like a win for the home team.
Can we get him on to tell us about...
Absolutely. He'll come.
Yeah, I actually want to know about what it was like. Like, yeah. I kind of want to go through the process of being in that bit.
Yeah, he wrote a couple bars too.
That is also how it sometimes work.
Yeah.
And you can ask Drake. What? I don't think that was confirmed. It was just a rumor. It was just a rumor that Drake has writers. It has not been confirmed. Don't sue me, Drake. I don't have all of your Canadian money.
They all got writers.
Well, let's talk about the ladies. Naomi with her awesome new championship belt. If you don't like it, come on, get over yourself.
Oh, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
She beat Lana, whose music sounds like a saxophone having a farting fit.
That shit is so bad. That is so bad.
Yeah.
Good.
That shit is terrible.
But she lost in a matter of seconds. Yeah, she went for a roll up that got reversed into whatever that
chicken choker, whatever
that
is.
Yeah, the chicken choke. Choke the chicken. She lost, but we all like the belt, right? But then I want to talk for a second about what happened afterwards when Tamina came to the ring to cry Lana and said, get up.
Yeah.
And then walked out to heat. There was like legit heat happening afterwards. I have no idea what the association is there.
I don't either.
But I'm intrigued. Do you think that there could be some elevation for Tamina and for Lana out of a partnership between the two?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. My only problem with it, at least in terms of optics, with nothing being revealed so far, is that it looks kind of just like Alexa Bliss and Nia. If you know, like blonde lady with big Samoan lady, like.
Yes, the optics are the same. Mm-hmm. However, Nia Jax is being manipulated by Alexa Bliss.
Sure.
Whereas it looks like Lana is under the control of Tamina. Like, Tamina is bossing her around.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I couldn't tell if that's where they were going with it.
Right.
You know, it kind of just looked like her protector was coming to. I didn't really get what was happening. I guess we'll have to kind of let that story unfold.
It's just weird. Like, I want Tamina to be her own person, and I want them to stop shoehorning her into being Nia Jax.
Right.
And the idea that, like, oh, I'm going to team up with this blonde against this dope black chick is feeling that familiar.
And that she used to team with, too, and there's no real acknowledgement of that.
Right. You know?
They talked about it on Talking Smack.
Did they? Okay, I didn't hear Talking Smack.
They addressed it, yeah.
We must protect Naomi at all costs.
Continues that the glowing belt must live forever.
Yeah. Oh my God,
It was lighting up on Talking Smack.
It has like different modes. Beautiful. Especially when you can see it during the day and you can see like
it's great.
I know it looks a little child's drawing when it's just the belt. I get it. It looks a little a Make-A-Wish kid made this. But like
whoa.
It does. Like, that was their wish, was to make a belt, and they did it.
I hear you.
But when
you, I got it. I understood.
But when you see it, when it's, like, the full-on belt, and you see where they put the lights, it's just so beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
It's so beautiful.
Expertly well done from Glowing Belts R Us. All right. Let's talk about the match that AJ Styles had with Chad Gable. First of all, it's nice to see Chad Gable on TV again.
Isn't it?
Guy's super talented. It's actually really nice to see him without Jason Jordan. No offense to Jason Jordan, who I like as well. Mm. But as a team, it just wasn't happening. I guess he's hurt right now?
He was in the Battle Royal.
He was in the Battle Royal. Yeah. So maybe there's going to be some explanation as to why they are not together. But he got two major rubs. One was AJ Styles clearly giving him some respect after... But also the surprise appearance he made at the end of Talking Smack.
Oh, I didn't see that. Where he started
by talking about how great Chad Gable is. Like, oh, are you surprised? Mm-hmm. And he got upset because, whatever comment it was that AJ Styles made that Chad Gable took offense to, he's like, he's throwing me around like a rag doll. Like, he talks through. AJ Styles is going to be a great color commentary guy at some point because he really did a good job of saying, the guy's a better wrestler than I am. So I had to try and throw some strikes at him, see if that would maybe surprise him, and get him to go to the ropes rather than go to the ropes myself because he had me locked in and there was nothing I could do. So it was just a fascinating sort of breakdown of that match. Do you think this is the sign of Gable maybe getting a run in the U.S. title division?
Yeah, I think Gable's really interesting. I am very curious about why American Alpha... why they jumped off that train so swiftly and suddenly and with no storyline explanation to Gable kind of suddenly being solo. So I hope that gets addressed. I mean, you know, all the solo success to both of them, but I do hope that we can get some sort of a storyline explanation of that.
Yeah. After the Battle Royal, that was sort of a win and you're in match for the Battle Royal later in the night. So AJ Styles goes in, then winds up winning the match after a final three of Ty Dillinger, who was made to look strong, and Sami Zayn filling out that final three. Are we excited for AJ versus Kevin, too?
I'm always here for it. You know, always here for AJ and
Those
Kevin.
Guys can go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like, obviously, I think we all like to see something different and shaken up. But, man, if I'm going to get more of the same of something, give me AJ versus Kevin.
And it didn't really finish. It was a count-out win that he got at the other pay-per-view.
And it would be... I would like to see more of a solid feud between the two that I could sink my teeth into, though, instead of all of the qualifying and this and that. Like, let's, you know, like, let them go at each other and draw a story out of that, I think would be good, too.
Well, I think we have, like, another 2 weeks before they're already at the go-home. So maybe we'll see a little bit more of that. They've already got a foundation, at least. You know they don't like each other. Mm. You know that Kevin Owens is an overbearing U.S. title champ, is a U.S. champion. And that AJ Styles wants that belt right now. He's decided he wants it. So hopefully they'll build on it. If you have any thoughts about the week in wrestling, let us know about it. Find us at facebook.com/group/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter. When we come back, WWE's been pushing a lot of buttons lately, but should they be doubling down on sensitive things like race and nationalism? That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Gates McFadden, Marina Sirtis,
Larissa Ann Betour,
LeVar Burton, Patrick Stewart look like movie stars.
Yeah.
Everybody else is like, you should just be on TV.
Sort of like when podcasters do this live.
Yeah.
Ben, the Greatest Generation is going back out on tour.
We're taking a new show out on tour about Star Trek First Contact. And whether or not you're a Star Trek fan, I think you're going to love this live show.
You come to our live show, you get Star Trek jokes. You get fart jokes. The whole gamut.
So come on out. It's bit.ly/ggtour2017. That's bit.ly/ggtour2017.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined in the booth by
Danielle Radford
and
Mike Eagle.
Every once in a while, we like to give something from the wrestling world extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Julian, is that you saying let's get ready to rumble?
Hey, it's Michael Buffer.
I thought it was you.
Oh, now we owe him $10,000 or something.
Whoops. You should have said yes.
Just bleep out where you say the name. Just go bleep.
Trying to give us plausible deniability.
Anyway. That was Michael Muffer.
From the beginning, we've said that we're on board with Jinder Mahal being pushed as the top champion of the WWE. The only downside is that it's also been saddled with Randy being the face by saying things like this.
You think you have the advantage over me at Battleground? Well, you don't. Nobody's going to stop me from punishing your ass in the Punjabi prison match. I might as well just screw around and RKO your ass right back to India.
Oh, my God.
Yuck. Yuck.
Orton sounds like the captain of the football team trying to lead the team in prayer. Like...
and we're gonna beat those guys cause Jesus said so. Amen.
Now everybody put your hands in except the black guys. Okay. So if we were to try to look at this from how WWE would go, that's not a big deal, because they have a character who only talks about how much he hates America and how racist everybody is. There's really no way around this, is it? It's just racist. But does it cross the line that the WWE has set? For them, it doesn't even feel half as bad as what they've done in the past.
I just think what's happening now with this story is that they had a possibility of making it a little bit more realistic as a person who was talented, athletic, and was upset at... his reaction from the crowd based on the things that he's perceived to be different because of, and attacking an American to make an example out of him and show that he's better and why he should be being cheered. And they had a way to make it a little bit more rounded, and now it's kind of flattened out into this,
you hate me because I'm a foreigner. Yeah, I don't like you because you're a foreigner.
Like, and that's kind of like every exchange now. And I feel like that is going backwards to where they kind of had room to make it something bit more progressive than it was.
It could have been more subtle, and it could have been more nuanced.
Yeah.
But then they were like, well, it's July 4th, right. So fuck your nuance.
Oh, my God. Yeah, for real.
Let's wave the flag. But the idea of the foreign villain is nothing new.
Right.
I mean, if we think of history, this is sort of the parallel I was drawing in my head, how in cooking they're like the mother sauces or the father sauces, whatever they are, from which all sauces come. There are like three or four basic storylines in wrestling. One of them is foreigner incites xenophobia and instills patriotism through a hero.
Right.
And we've seen that with guys like Ivan Koloff, Nikolai Volkov, the Iron Sheik, Slaughter when he turned more recently. And now Rusev sort of continues that idea of a foreign villain, except he's Bulgarian, who hates America, thinks they're all lazy. And then you have Cena as the all-American hero coming to fight him. How do you evolve a role like that so that you're still keeping true to that story because that's what you're doing. You're really stoking the worst instincts in people. Mm-hmm. You are... in essence, doing what the Russians did this past fall. You are trying to pump up feelings that may already be there and tell those people you're 100% right. You should be afraid of Iran, because look at this guy, the Iron Sheik, who does nothing but disrespect your country and talk about how great his is.
I think it would be in everybody's best interest if they got rid of it. Yeah, I know it's like one of those basic emotional... strings that they want to pull, that they like to pull, and it's always been successful in getting people. Like, but see, that's part of it too. Like, I sit and watch that SmackDown last night, and I know it's July 4th, and I know people have been drinking, but like some of that shit, like you really sit in an arena and cheer for Cena in that position in the ring, saying those things, those obvious pandering, fake patriotism things, like it's baffling that it still works.
Like, yes, exactly. Like, for me, it's like, are you cheering because you believe it or because you like cheering and you're at a wrestling show and maybe you've had a couple of drinks or maybe you're just hanging out and you, and part of being at a wrestling show is cheering the faces and booing the heels. And so it is one of those things where I'm like, is this super over or do they just know that they this is where you cheer and they do the thing.
But the wrestling fandom, especially in the last 5 years, has been so filled with irony that like it is amazing that when you put the angles under this guise of patriotism, and all the irony is suddenly out of the window.
Yeah.
Like the people who just got through booing Roman, they would turn around and cheer Cena just because he's talking about Independence Day? Like, to me, like I don't know how you reconcile that.
And it's, I mean, it's also like, I'm gonna kick you back to India. Okay, chill, but he's from Canada.
Yeah, that's real.
Right, but that's not the character they've played him as. They're playing characters on a television show, right? And these characters, if you take away the fact that he's this Punjabi playboy,
right,
he has no character. But that's what they build on.
But he does talk about his Indian heritage.
Yes.
And I could be wrong on this, but has he ever been straight up been like, I'm from fucking India? Or has he been like, that is my heritage? Because to me, that does make a difference. It makes a difference between Randy saying, I'm going to kick your ass back to India or whatever. If he's ever at any point, aside from being, because I'm like, I'm black, but I don't know where what the fuck country my family is from in right. Africa. And so if me just being black, if I were a wrestler, and I were to have a Black Girl Magic celebration after I won, which if I was a wrestler,
damn right you would.
I would. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. I would have just everybody just big ass hair. It would be amazing. I would find a way for Beyonce to be there, or at least Solange. It would be fine. And after I did that, if someone was like, "I'm going to kick your ass back to Africa," ooh,
yeah, itchy. That's
kind of... that's that. But I get it. It's not a butt, but this version of his character isn't like, I know I'm from Toronto or wherever, but right. I've completely renounced it. Like, you can have a character who's, I was born in Denver, but I'm Indian heritage, and this country makes me sick, so I'm gonna
but like,
do
they
nothing
did that
but espouse
with Rusev.
Indian values.
Because with Rusev, it was like, I'm from Bulgaria, but now I am Russian, and I love Putin, and right. I've got his star. Like, Rusev literally did that shit, where he was like, I am Bulgarian, but I am now Russia's favorite Bulgarian son. And so that makes more... Because nobody... I mean, let's be real. Most of this audience don't know where the fuck Bulgaria is, yeah. or what the fuck Bulgaria does. And so... that was how you get to the Russia thing. Again, I'm just trying to figure out if he ever was like, aside from the fact that he's proud of his Indian heritage, if he's ever been like, oh, and also now I'm from India now. You know what I mean?
Just coming back to Rusev, he's a really good worker.
Yeah.
So he has mm-hmm. good matches. And this gimmick, the anti-American gimmick that he has... Which pretty much Jinder is using as well. But if somebody's like, go back to Bulgaria, people don't go, ooh. Mm. Nobody says that. Mm-mm. Nobody says that. Because that's part of the Soviet bloc. Like, half the crowd cheers Jinder, first of all. He acts like he's getting heat, but a lot of them are cheering for him.
Yes, that is true.
Because they like seeing him get a chance, and because they're... I guess they're not buying into the storyline that's being told. Mm-hmm. I feel like there is a way to do it now without resorting to, I'm going to kick your ass back to India.
Yeah, I think that feels worse because of the current climate of Muslim and Middle Eastern prejudice.
Yes.
You know, so I feel like that's why that feels a little worse than Bulgaria, because there's that actual sentiment in the air and actual incidents of people from... you know, that are mistaken as being Muslim or look a certain way, you know, actually being you know, victims of violence. Yeah. And so when you hear something like that, you're like, ooh, because there's people who feel that way about people who just look like that. You can take out India and put in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan,
right.
any of those
brown.
Places.
Anything
yeah.
brown.
Anything brown.
Right. Yeah, we're in a completely different climate. By the way, before we wrap this segment up, there's a really great article in the Washington Post about a Muslim doctor who is in rural Minnesota, who moved there and has been there, I think, for 3 or 4 years, who's been giving talks on Islam and helping people understand. It's a great read. Look it up. It's in the Washington Post. Mm. They need to evolve how they do it. I don't think it will ever go away. Volkov sang the Russian national anthem and people booed.
Right.
Nobody was like, I'm going to kick your ass back to... No, you know, nobody was using racist terms for Iron Sheik that I can remember. I'm sure now there'll be 90 YouTube clips that are shared.
But you know, you highlight a difference with that too, because one of the ways Volkov used to get heat by doing that is that he stamped out to the ring and did it extra obnoxiously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, he could have almost been saying anything, but for him to grab the mic and say it in people's faces and stand there like that, looking like goofy and dumb and just too like prouder of himself than he should be.
Yeah.
Like that. in itself was heat getting, and he focused that through the xenophobia that classically works as well. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the heels these days, they don't do that, but I think that's better. Or maybe what it should be is that heels go back to using those tactics, but then they take that layer of racism or xenophobia prejudice out of it.
Right, where you're just extra, but you're just not extra,
but it's not
and
extra.
Also inviting.
Right, I'm not extra because I'm not from here. I'm an asshole, so boo me because of that.
Which is what happens with The Miz. The Miz is someone who classically uses kind of that same style of like arrogance and pomp and circumstance. And he just has to, and he doesn't have to be brown to get heat. People get it.
Right.
I think you could make a small shift and have Randy Orton cut his promos on the fact that Jinder can't beat him by himself.
Mm-hmm.
How
much better would that be?
And for him to keep coming back and saying, you're saying that because you're racist, because of the color of my skin and because of where I come from.
Now, wouldn't that be great?
Just like every idiot here in this arena who writes me off because of the color of my skin, and now I'm going to address the only people who truly understand me in my native Punjabi. I love any foreign language where they have to drop in a word that's not there. Am I the first person to ever bring that up in a comedic context?
No,
and
Jinder,
a first person? First person?
Jinder is, the flag. Jinder's killing it. It's not his fault.
Yeah.
It's a bummer that someone gets their shot and it's fucking just mired in racism. And this is a shot.
And it's getting worse, I feel like, by the week.
Got opinions? Bet you do. Let us know on our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/tightsfights or @tightsfights on Twitter. When we return, we're going to flip the script. So hold it down. We're going to give you three things from the world of wrestling that we think are just peachy. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Well, hoopity-dop-dop, scoopity-dick-dop, scoopity-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-dop-d
doobada.
Whoopity doo doo, a rabbity hey hey, whoopity ha, it's a bop a doo. Baby, doobity doo doo doo, ba dee ka da 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 doo 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 da.
Stop podcasting yourself. We don't even know anymore.
Find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you download your podcasts.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Michael Eagle.
Every week, we end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the three count. Danielle, what do you want to put over?
I'm just going to put over the fact that Braun showed up to Raw in another fucking ambulance. I'm just putting over that he keeps showing up in these ambulances. And I think someone pointed out, and I haven't had a chance to double check, but someone online pointed out that it was a California plate on that ambulance. And so our theory of him just taking ambulances and ambulance drivers and just being like, I'm done with you, you smell bad, and dropping them off and then getting a new ambulance, guys, I think that that's what's happening.
I like him. I like the thought of him leaving an ambulance and that guy driving away and then Braun running up to it and going, I'm not finished with you, and then taking that same ambulance back to the next gig.
He's like Sweetums. I want to go to Hollywood.
So I think we have a little clip.
Yeah, this could be what happens to Rain Sunday. Toss him in the back of the ambulance, close the doors, wrap on the back, and tell the driver, take him away.
Just imagine every week that I'm not putting over Braun rolling around the United States in an ambulance, having the best road trip of his life. Just imagine that I am, because I am.
Mike?
Earlier we spoke about the rap battle that took place on SmackDown, and it was personally a moment of joy for me because my good friend, rapper Mega Ran, a.k.a. Random, was... on the scene. A.k.a. Whale. And I spoke to him on the phone last night. He had a time of his life. He couldn't tell anybody about it. And it was great. And he's a rapper that goes under the Nerdcore banner.
Mm-hmm.
So he's lots of, like, his name is Mega Ran, which is from Mega Man. Like, most of his early stuff is about Mega Man. He's actually, like, licensed by Capcom. Like,
oh,
he's
cool.
taken That's it dope. Very far. And he has a lot of stuff about wrestling, too. I think he has a couple whole projects that are about wrestling. So check out Mega Ran to hear some wrestling rap. And I think he has a wrestling podcast as well, even though there's no such thing as that. Only this one. Only this one.
What? There's another?
Been about respect, leave a crowd impressed. Put me in a ring and turn it to gold, a full metal alchemist. Yes, V-trigger, throw back like flea flickers. Be with her, that's a stretch, read riches. Yeah, got a motor like a Hemi. I'm the one that y'all envy, put the water to a frenzy.
Quite pleasant on Twitter as well.
He's a great guy.
Oh, wonderful. Well, let's get him in here.
We shall.
Let's do it.
We shall.
All right, I'm going to put over Brizongo. You didn't think we were going to get through a show without bringing up the greatest Sting-like disguise in history.
I love it. I love it every time.
We saw Beautiful. The premiere. I can't believe that SmackDown got a new backstage interviewer named Tanae Young. Exact same hair, like a spinning image of Renee Young.
And she thought of that name so fast.
Yeah.
So
super fast.
Quickly.
Well, I was thrown for a loop afterwards when it was revealed to be Brizongo all the time, including the construction worker not wearing a shirt in the background. Let's hear what happened after the Perfect 10 walked away.
I'm going to get ready. Tanae.
You're a 10.
Excuse me, Fandango.
My bad. Think you knew it was us?
Are you kidding? I didn't even know it was us.
You know what I'm thinking?
Manny Petty's after the show?
Well, of course, but tonight we might come to blows. For America. We're still partners.
Forever.
Aww.
Forever.
Forever.
It brushed his hair out of his face.
Man, I ship them so fucking hard.
What does ship mean?
It means
relationship.
Yeah. Okay.
So ship, meaning like, I want those two people to be in love forever.
Okay.
That's what shipping means.
Yeah. So ship them. You ship them means you want them to be in a relationship.
Yes, I want them to be in love.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I want them to be in love forever. The All most right. purest and beautiful love.
Yeah. Oh, and this led to a great spot in the Battle Royale where Tyler Breeze was almost eliminated, but Fandango caught him and put him back in the ring.
Oh, that was great. And he was like patting him on the back.
Because they're best friends.
Yeah, that was great.
And then he got eliminated right away while
Fandango
watched.
And you can also ship people as best friends, too.
Yeah.
Not just make out relationships, any relationships. So I also appreciate their best friendship, but I also ship them really hard. There's got to be, I got to find.
You look so good to me. Oh.
You look so good to me. I think that I've got to be able to find that slash fiction somewhere, that Brizongo slash fiction. If not, if you guys want to write some and send it to me, you can me for that.
Just don't send it to me.
Go to Archive of Our Own. You'll find it there.
Never send it to me.
That does it for this week on Tights and Fights. We are a podcast of the Maximum Fun Network. This week, our hosts are Danielle Radford and Mike Eagle, along with me, Hal Lublin. Our producer is Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music as well. We're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And if you love the show, remember to hit those 5 stars on iTunes and share us with all your friends. Thank you so much to all of the Maximum Fun members who have chosen to throw part of their donation our way to keep the lights on for our little podcast that is bigger than you think. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.